adding another afternoon as far as the environment is concerned. I'm Maite Panagian, and I'm a learner at Cage. I teach subjects on having a business school in Bežice, in Slovenia. And I'm also interested in open source software, as my previous week. Then I'll tell something about also project, as was previously mentioned. And then I will tell more about the research that was made by in this also project, supported by the ministry. And we one was based on the similar research on the Northwest Graduate Educational Level in the United States, and the other was based on a wide study made in Europe. All these researches were made on the national level, not only one school. In Slovenia, of course. And then I can also some my opinion on introducing open source software in into curriculum and my own experiences in the classroom. And then we will end with questions and answers. I will make some general statements about open source software. As you know, technology is very expensive, and also more and more important in learning environments. And as I saw in the literature, documentation and internet, proponents of open source software often emphasize economic and technological reasons, like TERCEON, this is total cost of ownership, and then stability, reliability and security are also often mentioned. But we have also wider aspect on this topic, as was the previous discussion. So we must introduce also, I think so, as a teacher, not only to look at money, but also to share this openness. And we can even take the slogan of French Revolution, liberty, equality, and fraternity, and apply it on education. So, with liberty in the context of change, we must understand what is like in this good software, equality. It doesn't matter if you have money or you don't have money, you can use the same software at home and at school. And fraternity. So, I think that software should, the type of software you use should support the cooperation and mutual help between students and also between all the people. This is short about that project. It was it started in 2003. It was made by enthusiastic teachers who previously used open source software on their own, but they weren't gathered, they didn't share their knowledge and experiences. So this expert group was on, in the year 2014, really by ministry, but as Ms. Kamila said, this project unfortunately is now quite dry. It doesn't have anything. So the aim was to acquire quality and pre-didactic software for education, then to offer to educational establishments open source software based on open standards, to inspire the use of open source software and to educate teachers. This last one is very important, the demand of people to educate. One very important idea is reference school. It did come true, maybe in the future, but it should act as a model and guide to others. And these reference schools were meant to be centers of exchanging knowledge, because now the situation is so that all these movements and knowledge is a bit centralized. I know, I think, in our capital city, Ljubljana. But I'm on the other side. Our school is on the other side of Slovenia, and it would be very good to have technical support near, not 100 kilometers far. And reference schools could act like center for changing knowledge. Our idea was to start with research about using open source in education. Then, in 2003 and 2004, we were pioneers. This was the first such research in Slovenia on the national level. The aim was to answer who, why, how uses open source software in education, and to get information about experience of open source software users. It was all meant on primary and secondary level, as America said, CARPEL, primary and secondary schools. Here you have some information about, in my opinion, two the most important studies that were made on these topics. The first was really about education, but the other was why. It was. I will talk about the other later. The other was made also in firms, in all kinds of institutions. So you have here the link to see this study. Our research was available at the website of this OCO project. It is still there. This website is still alive. And you can see, I will tell you only a few things about our conclusions and analysis, but you have more of all the information about our study on this website. It's also translated in English. So, our conclusions. It was so that the ministry invited the principals of primary, secondary, and music schools to participate. And it was only, this question was only on the internet. not without faith. And I will summarize now the results that apply to use of open source software in desktops, especially office suites. But we also pose questions on the other aspects of open source software, Linux, for example, and so on. These numbers can speak for themselves. This table presents the types of open source software that participants and their students use on their desktops. The participants were, I don't know if I was clear enough, were the participants of the study were teachers. They were invited to answer. Do you use open source software operating system? You see the answers. So if you look at the first column, we can see that the office suites are most popular among open source software that is here. The interesting thing that we noticed is that a lot of teachers really don't understand the difference between open source software and, for example, open source software, because there were a lot of open questions also, and we could conclude this from their answers. The second table is what are the factors that influence the selection of open source office suite. Of course, this was OpenOffice.org office suite. Again, you can see that very important are interoperability and privacy. And reputation isn't important at all. Then we added a part that it wasn't a part of that original study in USA. The question was, what do teachers think about the obstacles in using IT in education in general, not only open source software, but generally. And these answers were in advance, were written, but they could also add their opinions, but no such answers were given. So the first important thing, as you see, is poor education teachers get using IT. This is the first obstacle, the most important obstacle. And this answer is, I think, correlated with the last one. This is a bit of critics about our system of education, about our system of educating teachers using technology. I made previously such studies, and I saw that teachers aren't very satisfied with these official trainings that government and state offers to them. The most important for them is to have, but this isn't part of this study, the most important for them is to have someone besides them on the same school to ask them. When they are unhappy, unsatisfied, they must have the help on time, then, not somewhere in the future or I don't know how many kilometers far. This is the other survey. This study was made in Germany, Sweden, and the United Kingdom. And the link is here also. But here we had a slightly different methodology because username and password were required, and each school, each primary and secondary school, here I must say that in Slovenia we have almost 100% of 100% of public schools. I think that we can count on the one hand private schools. So each school was given a username and password, and only, I don't know if this is only, but the fact is that 19% of all schools answered something. But we should be careful with interpretation of results, because we must know that all the other population, let's say, avoided somehow, I think, because I also think, this is my opinion, maybe they don't know a lot about open source software. So these results, our results are good. In average, they would be so good if we took all the population, you know, because only that part of schools answered, I think, that already know something about open source software, and we should take this in consideration. Results for desktops and clients, OpenOffice.org, is that this Office Suite is already being used by nearly 1/3 of the participants, and another 31 plan to use it. This, I think, is very optimistic, and it correlates of what I previously said. According to this study, the most important open source software characteristics that influence the decision to use it are price, security, and stability. And other interesting findings are what else is the main motive for using open source software is to be more independent of the policies and licenses, which I think is very optimistic. So money isn't so important, to be independent, but it is also connected with money, to be or not independent. Then only 13% of the perceived participants agree with the claim that open source software is not needed in teaching processes, because the existing this abbreviation means closed source software, as opposite of open source software, or some people say proprietary. Yes, software. I don't know exactly what is official opposite of open source software. Closed. Is it? Is good. Okay. Thank you. The importance of good education for teachers in this area, in IT area, is also supported by these answers. Over 1/3 of participants say that they are willing to use open source software but do not have the proper knowledge. And again, 81% of participants agree that teachers and school administrators are unable to use open source software because they have not been trained well enough. presentation my own experience in the classroom. So I teach courses in business informatics. I have a bit different population as Mr. Lukács that talked previously. So at business schools, office suites are even more important than in gymnasiums. I think we really base everything on office suites. And again and again, every year I see that, and I hear that for my students, Microsoft Office or Microsoft Windows is the synonym for all office suites or operating systems. They even don't know that something else exists. They don't know about other possibilities. So our chance is great in the classroom. We have a great opportunity to change this, I think. My experience is that I think that for business schools, for gymnasium, it can be different, but for business schools, it wouldn't be properly to start with operating systems because I even tried once, but the students become frightened. When you say Linux, and it's more different, I think that it's the Linux is more different, that it's a bigger difference between Linux and Windows than it is between OpenOffice and Microsoft Office that they are used for. But this is only my opinion. OpenOffice they can install on their own without complications, and then they can start to explore on their own again without any complications. They even don't need some of them, they don't need any documentation, because it's if they knew Microsoft Office previously, then they can just begin. This curriculum is also slightly different in business schools. In the first year, they have two hours per week. This is 70 hours in the year, the same as on gymnasiums, but in second and third year they also have 2 hours, but it's the subject is not general informatics but business informatics, let's say. The name is slightly different. So maybe I can say now that on business school we have more opportunity, more chance to introduce open source software than on the general schools, on gymnasiums, for example. I always start with theoretical introduction on software licensing, because a lot of students even don't know that at home you must pay for programs for software. So they are quite surprised when I ask them at first, how many of you have bought Microsoft Office? Should I pay this? They even don't know. So money doesn't bother for them, cost or not cost. Then I tell them some benefits and disadvantages. Tell them that okay, at home it's not good to have pirates to had a Microsoft Office without license. But it can be tolerated, okay. But if you have business, your own business, you must not have Microsoft Office without license. And then they start to listen, because in the future, all of them want to have some own business, and then I say to them, here you can save some money. I make them all these presentations, theoretical introduction and all, I make them in press so that they can compare, that they can see that it's quite the same as PowerPoint. Then I show them sources on web. For example, the book that was also mentioned, OpenOffice.org, that they can download and print. Last year I also made a short questionnaire. I had a population of 56 students. They were about 15 years old then. Previously, they had, of course, basic knowledge of Microsoft Office package, because I'm not so extreme as Mr. Lukács. We have both. We go for Microsoft Office, and then at the end of the year, I show them also OpenOffice, and then the decision is theirs. And then they can compare. They remain anonymous. These are the results. Where and how have you heard about open source software for the first time? And these results show that the importance of the school is really high. As you see, most of them heard about open source software at IT lessons at school. Then I asked them about operating system. As you see, Microsoft Windows is of course dominant. Some of them have dual boot. The last isn't very good for me as teacher, because you see, I don't know. It means that they don't even get what is operating system, but I'm trying. Do you have a non-Microsoft Office suite? But of course, now they know Microsoft Office and OpenOffice.org. And I hope that they don't think that this is all. Do they have this on their home computer? You can see results. Microsoft Office is predominant. And also, I don't know. OpenOffice.org only, 14%, I think it's quite good. This is after our project. I think it should be better if I did this before and after our project to compare. Maybe next time. Then what is their general impression about OpenOffice comparing to Microsoft Office? As you see, the answers are quite balanced. Are they going to continue to explore OpenOffice.org package also on their home computers? Yes, 38. That's good. No, and I don't know. We will see in the future. Okay. That will be all from my side. Thank you for your attention, and
that these children open access as a university course, do you think that that's a little bit like too much, too narrow space to make a comparison between?
Yes, of course. So, for.
Is there time restrictions that you're concerned about showing the both at the same time, or you would just think that there is confusion on teaching the same thing on two different environments?
There are time restrictions because I must teach them on Microsoft Office because they have the second and the third year also, but I don't know if I will teach them the next year or the third year. Maybe I'll teach them only in the first year, and then my colleagues will teach them, and I don't know if it's good to teach them, for example, as Mr. Lukács, the whole year or only on the open office. I'm scared to do this.
I'm not saying only an open office, I said the whole throughout the course, not the open office.
Half?
Yes.
Yeah, I.
Ridiculously.
I could, yes. I
you know, if you say this is how we do it in word, and this is how we do it in writer.
And nobody knows what
to do.
Yeah.
It's easy enough for them to do it just in one thing. I mean,
yeah.
If you have
yes.
kids doing something, you'll see how difficult they understand concepts. And if you come with two different things at the same time, they'll just.
Yes, but it's
yeah.
not so different. Maybe that's how they will see that it's nothing to be afraid of. It's not
be.
So different.
Yes, maybe. Yeah.
Selecting font in Word or in Writer is pretty the same. I mean the basics, not the deeper parts of the.
Functionality
is
similar,
yes. Yes, very similar. So they can see that it's not so important to have Word. It's Writer is also good.
Do you think instead of showing them at the end of the course, showing them at the beginning of the course and being flexible throughout the course so they can choose whatever they want to do since it's so similar? I don't know what's the same, for example, but you said that you present them the option at the end. And if you present them the option at the beginning, would that be would that have any effect at all?
I will try in the future to, yes, to show them in the beginning and then I will see what's better.
Yeah.
Or as you said, parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the best is to be parallel. To do an exercise and show it with these tools and with these tools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because one of the issues that I face is that first impression open office and Microsoft Office is still almost the same to an end user.
Yes.
Actually, exactly the same to an end user.
Mm-hmm.
But as they work throughout it, they find out the differences.
Yeah.
And that's when they actually return to Microsoft. Because
mm-hmm.
that's what they actually learn.
Mm-hmm.
That might be an issue. For example,
mm-hmm.
for some second level development of like continuous. The continuity of use of open office.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have, we, the open office community, have documentation that addresses differences. The thing is, we're trying to get it out there so we can like address exact differences. So
mm-hmm.
teachers that want to have this or have this region will be more knowledgeable of those.
I have done also my own documentation exercises. I think that it's very important for them to have something in the hands on paper. Not only to tell them click and now do this. They must have whole procedure here. This is my way. Any more questions?
Yes. How many teachers are teaching open office in Slovenia? I think there are just two of you.
At least two.
Yes.
Not you were before all the people in there, all the teaching religious and all the
I see in Postojna there is no interest in teaching open office. They're kind of scared of it.
Maybe something else about the limits that you said. You said that there is a bigger difference between Linux and Windows than between open office and Microsoft Office.
Yeah.
Maybe the differences are. There are differences, but not in that shallow view that a student gets in school. The student in school, what does the student need? It needs to know how to access desktop. It has to know how to open a word processor. It has to know how to browse network. Mm-hmm. There is nothing else. He doesn't have to know what is a console, terminal window. It doesn't have to go so deep.
But if they don't see the start button, they get freaked out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but there is start button. In KDE, there is start button. Okay, there's
It's different, and they get freaked out in the beginning. So I guess what she was saying is that if you approach them through OpenOffice and then lead to changing to Linux, it will be easier for them
they get stuck with installation. We saw the results, how many of them can install Linux on their own. I don't think that.
Yes, but I think
many
the
them.
Problem is because in school they have Microsoft Windows, they have Microsoft Office. Teachers want to have all formats in Microsoft Office. They only know, teachers only know how to use Windows and only know how to use Microsoft Office. That's a great problem. If you try to break through with the Linux and open office, you are a freak. You are a freak, you are a geek.
Everywhere, not only in Slovenia.
Okay, yes. So this is, I think this is the right problem.
To get
students,
you must
get first.
Yes,
that's my problem now, but I don't know how to solve it because my problem, Romanian problem, and I mean we could get the teachers. It's the right timing where we could get the teachers, but we don't have the funding, so then it all stops here.
Yes.
Now I think that open office, maybe because it's derivative from Sun, doesn't have that marketing view about making, because Sun deals with businesses, and other companies deal directly with users. For example, Apple directs a lot to the education market, but also has this strategy of good feel or feel good about using their product. They provide Apple is very important. A lot of people want Apple just because. Not because the actual school is, they think they're gaining something extra out of it. So they do see a deal coming out of it. You mentioned that when you actually tell them about using OpenOffice will save you money, they'll start hearing because then it's actually something, a value-added proposition. So I don't think teachers are so close-minded as one would think. It's just that basically you're giving them more problems than solutions. And it might be that, but also it might be just the perception that they're just thinking you're just giving me more work. I know that I get paid for it. So if they actually feel that they're getting away with something, then I think that will make them more keen to try alternative technologies. It's a matter of sensibilization of technology, like I said before. It's also a matter that they're actually gaining something out of it, not just more work.
But I think that for teachers, they don't gain nothing because Microsoft gave them free license at school. They have free license at home. They don't gain nothing.
Yeah, but that's our problem now. We need to actually build models where they feel good about using our technology.
Yes, 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 yes.
More than just say, you're not going to pay licenses or just use it because we're open source. I don't think that's good enough for them. And I think we need to think differently on the way we approach users.
Yes. Yeah. You're right, yes.
I mean, like I was saying before, maybe offering them templates that will help them actually teach. So maybe things that they actually need for teaching and presentations for different subjects. I mean, if we create a community of teachers that create stuff, like maybe
those templates would be converted into Microsoft documents like this, and all the work
well.
Is done.
We can also do that
I think
now, for example,
the problem is in heart. If you if you are an open source in heart, there is no problem.
Right. The thing that I didn't call the first presenter's name, but he said that it makes a big difference to actually give them a CD on their hand as opposed to give them a link. For a teacher, would that be the relative of giving them a printed book in OpenOffice, how to do it in OpenOffice for free in their hand, rather than just saying, go and download the documentation?
The tablet is for email. The one book
that
comes with computers, you know, I think it's open. How to do it in OpenOffice. And I think there is one more thing. We must look at to the end of the part. If you learn OpenOffice to get on the end of the job, so you can work in the job. If employees want to have a person who knows how to use OpenOffice, that would come back to the school. So you will have to teach OpenOffice in the end. The same is the government. The government, they acquire documents.
You see, that is
having a project, open source project, but still
are taking forward. I mean, we cannot attack a one solution for every situation. We have to attack different solutions because, yes, there is the end user, there is the corporate environment, there is the government environment, there is the standard, and we cannot just have one solution for each one. We have to build strategies to attack each different sectors. I mean, it's one world, but it's not one person that we have to convince. No.
I believe that an open document issue will help the open source community to enter this water of government and...
But at the end, there's also this feel-good technology. I'll come back to that because even if it's not the same to say, oh, you have to use this, we're not asking you, as opposed to this just looks better and it just gives a better eye candy, good feeling, kind of look, I feel good using this thing. For geeks, it feels good to use open source. That's the primary driver.
Mm-hmm.
For non-geeks, it's not. It's actually scary. If we can make that and address that with more ways of better, more efficient ways to attack this and make them feel good of using our product, then we will have a top-down and bottom-up strategy.
You're right.
I have a fanatic thought about this. In Slovenia, we have a centralized purchase of software. It means that government in Ljubljana buys software for every school in Slovenia. If this was decentralized, for example, here you business school in Brežica, here you have money for software, do what you want with this, or even you can share the rest or between teachers to salaries. I think that in 1 year or in 2 years, what do you think it should happen? What happened? What
would happen?
Schools
would
be open source, definitely.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But for example, some companies have actually taken part to that. For example, I heard Novell are giving to schools, because usually network is very big in schools for some reason throughout the world. They're giving also their Mozilla desktop land for free, which eventually leads, I think, to target those environments where they're centralized repository of computers, because the same happened not just in school level, but also like the government, the para, I don't know, government organizations, ministries.
Mm-hmm.
The ministries are ruled by one centralized IT consortium of government, that they will actually acquire the software and redistribute it throughout the ministry. That's the way at least it worked in my government in Mexico. And being part of that commission, I did see a lot of things that was going on and the issues they have, because not everybody was satisfied with the product that they eventually got. It's usually no more driven towards hardware, but then again, it's also part of the issue, having a centralized environment.
Is this all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.